That boy doesn't affect me one bit. She ran the washcloth over Dylan's shoulders and then tapped her on the nose, leaving a slick coating of oil on the tip. Just make sure he doesn't affect you out on the platform. Dylan turned back to watch Cole take out his hearing aids and place them in his tennis shoes for safekeeping. He'd come in second in the junior versus senior boys match. Quite a surprise for those who'd watch from the shoreline, and from his reaction after that round, even for Cole himself. He raced across the sand, dove into the water, and swam out to the platform with an intensity that signaled he was either ready to take everyone on, or he wanted to hurry up and get the whole thing over with. Knowing him as well as she did, Dylan assumed it was the latter. "You got this, Dylan," Misty said with a large, confident grin. "They'll regret the day they messed with you." "Thanks, girl." She turned to her sister one last time. "Wish me luck." "Go get him, slugger." As Dylan walked toward the water, she heard Peyton call out, "If you win, I get the gift card to the coffee shop." Dylan waved over her shoulder, then dove into the lukewarm water, swam to the platform, and took her place in the center of the participants, ready to go to battle. She'd trained for this moment almost her entire life. Even as a sophomore the year before, she'd made it to the final round, but got manhandled by Kyle Merchant, a 23-year-old graduate who returned to Cornwell for the weekend purely to be part of the event. Within moments of the whistle blow, Dylan turned to a senior girl who stood on the edge of the platform. "Can you believe we made it this far?" Dylan asked with a girlish squeal. "No, I never." Dylan shoved her off the planks before she could say another word. In less than 5 seconds, she'd shown her dominance over the girl who quite honestly had no business being there in the first place, especially since she so easily fell for Dylan's girl talk ploy. Dylan knew that people on the outside of the platform got thrown off first, and as those doing the throwing were busy taking out the weakest links, she focused on simultaneously shoving them off. When someone did chance to get a hold of her, their hand slipped off her freshly slicked up skin, and she used their confusion to get the upper hand. Dylan cut her eyes to a male sophomore. In a quick swoop, her hard kick to the back of his knee caused it to buckle. Dylan used his brief weak and unsteady movement to elbow him off the platform. "I'm unimpressed." Star's blasé attitude didn't surprise Peyton. She'd seen her eye roll behind her stylish sunglasses almost 20 times since the moment they walked onto the beach. "Your sister's acting like an idiot out there. What 16-year-old girl still plays King of the Mountain?" "All of them." Lindy didn't even look in Star's direction. She remained perfectly situated on her beach towel, as if Star wasn't worth receiving her full attention. At least not at the moment. Peyton glanced over her shoulder and snickered at their horrible yet completely expected attitudes. "How do you figure?" Star asked. "Whether in the water or not, we're always fighting our way to the top. We have nothing better to do." Peyton looked back out at the struggle on the platform as another girl collapsed into the water, quickly followed by Joshua, who fell victim to a quick, unexpected shove from Dylan. "Look at her out there. She's the only girl left." Joshua broke through the water surface. "Dylan, you're too sly for your own good. It's gonna come back to bite you." "Not today," she yelled back. If Joshua was trying to distract her sister, it failed miserably. Without missing a step, Dylan shoved a sophomore between the rails of the ladder and into another year of oblivion. Joshua turned and swam toward the shore. As he approached, he rose out of the water with air bubbles flowing alongside him, as if they were groupies chasing him the rest of the way in. "Peyton, why are you out there with the rest of us?" he shouted.
"Me? No way.
Dylan's the truly brave one."
"Nah, I think you've got some fight in ya."
"Not that sort, I can assure you." She couldn't help but be proud of her sister, and maybe a little jealous. All eyes were on her, and she was kicking butt and taking names. "Besides, Mom would let me have it if I took part." Peyton joined Joshua at the water's edge as Brody crawled into the shoreline and collapsed at their feet. She heard him panting, looked down, and kept watch over his large, heaving chest until he finally caught his breath. He rolled onto his stomach and laid his face on the sand.
"I'm too out of shape for this mess."
The Celtic angel tattoo on the back of his calf glistened under the thin sheet of water that covered the lower half of his body. With just one look, anyone would be reminded that he was once a local high school football hero and 2-time King of the Mountain champion. But while his frame was still large, a few years out of high school meant he was also a little softer, especially around the middle.
"Dylan's got a low center of gravity or something. It's unreal."
"Right?"
Joshua chuckled. It was her low center of gravity. Finally revived, Brody rolled back over, perched onto his elbows, and looked out at the water.
Looks like Cole might take the championship.
Peyton looked back out of the platform as Cole gripped Dylan by the shoulders, started to push her aside, but quickly pulled her to him and wrapped his arms around her. A simple kiss of young love. But it looked sweet enough that the majority of the girls watching from their place on the beach were likely jealous.
They're dating again? Brody asked.
For over a year now, they just kept it on the down low. As they watched Dylan and Cole continue to frolic on the swim platform, Brody said,
That doesn't seem very down low to me. But hey, whatever floats your boat.
Or your platform, Josh quipped. Brody turned his attention to Joshua. Did you see Peyton's new bug? Peyton peeked over at Joshua and realized his eyes were fully focused on the platform, and most likely Dylan.
Her car?
He asked, his fixation unchanged.
Yeah, she looks good, doesn't she?
Yeah, dude, it's red.
Very, very red.
I totally revamped her. She was rotting away, and now she shines like a lollipop soaked in spit. Peyton chuckled.
Interesting visual.
You still like her, though, don't you, Peyton? She looked down at him and offered a smile.
I love her. So much.
He proudly grinned back and then turned to spy on Dylan and Cole for several moments before he quietly and stealthily crept back into the water. After Brody had disappeared under the water and let out of Peyton's sight, she watched Dylan and Cole latch onto each other's arms and start a playful tug-of-war. Obviously, neither would go down without a real fight, but within a few seconds, Cole had the upper hand. He tipped Dylan off balance, and her overcorrection caused her to roll onto the edge of her foot. Brody suddenly erupted out from under the water, catching everyone by surprise, then gripped Dylan's leg and pulled her off the platform. Cole appeared so caught off guard by her sudden takedown that he didn't seem to realize he was the last man standing, until he looked over and saw spectators begin cheering on the beach.
That didn't count!
Dylan's cry of foul started as soon as her head broke through the surface of the water.
Totally not fair, Brody!
She shoved 2 hands worth of water in Brody's direction with a dramatic splash. When Cole lowered his hand over the edge of a wooden plank, then grabbed Dylan's wrist and lifted her onto the platform, Peyton's heart skipped a beat. It was a small gesture, but she wished her mama had been there to see it. Maybe seeing him be so caring toward Dylan would change her mind about him. Maybe if she witnessed what Peyton just did, mama'd give him a chance. When Cole moved in for a second kiss, Dylan shoved him right off the side of the platform and claimed victory before he was even fully submerged. Moments later, Cole popped out of the water and rested his arms on the platform, but he didn't bother to climb back up. It was clearly Dylan's moment to shine. Chapter 4, August 11th, 2017, 4:07 p.m. Joshua touched Peyton's elbow.
Peyton, are you okay?
She heard Joshua's voice, but was so focused on watching the grains of sand fall to the earth that she didn't bother to respond.
Peyton, I was talking, and you...
Her cell phone rang. At first, she considered not even answering it. All of her friends were at the cove, which meant that the only person it could be was one of her parents. And if it was her mama, she wanted something. She squeezed the last ounces of sand tightly into her fist and then dumped it out.
I guess I should get that. It could be news.
But I... Sure, it could be news. News about her sister. Or news about her case. But Peyton doubted it. There hadn't been news for at least 7 months. She wiped the sand stuck to her hand off on the towel and then dug the phone out of her bag. As soon as she saw that it was her mama, she took a deep breath and dutifully answered.
Yes, ma'am.
Where are you?
The Cove. It's the King of the Mountain Championships. I'm gonna need you to make a visit to the hospital.
What? Why? Missy delivered her baby. The phone went silent for several seconds.
Severely premature.
Severely premature? The baby didn't survive. The words were cold, almost no connection to emotion. It was her mama's new state of being. Detached.
Anyway, I'm behind, and I have to get back to the clinic to see patients and finish working on some charts. I need someone to sit with her.
Peyton choked on the words. Something about them made them hard to swallow.
She's very alone.
The phone was mostly silent again. All Peyton could hear was her mama's breath and the beep of machines from the hospital's neonatal unit. Peyton placed the phone on mute and cleared her throat.
Misty McNeese had her baby.
Joshua's eyebrows hitched.
It didn't survive.
Really? Joshua sounded almost as detached as her mama did. Only his detachment was probably more from a lack of caring. Her mama, on the other hand, was one who cared too much.
Mama said she's all alone.
Joshua adjusted his sunglasses.
That's rough.
Yeah. Peyton, you there? Peyton unmuted her phone.
Yes, ma'am.
So I can count on you to sit with Misty for a bit, right?
I'm supposed to stay for the bonfire.
She caught herself before she could deny her mama's request.
Yes, ma'am. I'll sit with her.
Thanks. The line went dead. Peyton stared at her phone for several seconds, trying to will it to ring again and her mama to tell her not to worry about going, that she'd found someone else to make the hospital visit. The call didn't come.
So, about that date.
Peyton threw the phone into her bag with a heavy sigh and a fuddled mind.
I've got to go. There's something I need to do.
But we weren't finished talking. His face turned red. Peyton left Joshua sitting on her towel and walked to the well-worn footpath in the woods that led to the parking lot. But she passed Ladybug. The hospital wasn't far from the cove, and although Peyton felt safer in her car than she did outside on the streets, she didn't worry something would happen to her. Under normal circumstances, if she wanted to go somewhere but not drive herself, just about anyone would have been willing to give her a ride. Joshua, especially. She could have easily asked him to leave the bonfire and take her to the hospital. But this wasn't a normal circumstance. And in reality, she rather enjoyed walking. As soon as she walked through the double doors, the head nurse in the hospital's tiny obstetrics wing looked up from her computer.
Well, hey, Peyton.
Hey, June.
How's everything going?
Great. Pretty calm around here. We've got a few new ones.
Her bright smile slipped into a more concerned expression.
What about you? How you doing?
It could have been anyone asking that question. The tone in June's voice was familiar no matter the person who posed it. The inquiry held curiosity mixed with sympathy and a bit of anxiety.
I'm good, thanks.
A lie. Peyton's answer was always a lie. And she wasn't ever sure if anyone bought it, but they sure pretended they did. It kept them at surface level, which is where they seemed more comfortable. Peyton came to understand that her grief made others uncomfortable, and was best if she just kept it to herself.
Your mama left a few minutes ago.
That's okay,
Peyton glanced up and down the quiet hallway. At this point, she knew most girls would head to the nursery window, where they could ooh and ah over the latest arrivals.
Is Misty McNeese still here?
June's face fell. Utter defeat filled each and every line on her face.
She is. I suppose I'm here to see her.
June's face lit up. I bet she'd appreciate the company.
Room 125.
A bit disappointed that June hadn't turned her away, Peyton gave one last polite smile before she hesitantly turned to head down the hallway. Peyton and Misty hadn't spoken in over 10 months, so she wasn't completely sure what she'd walk into when she entered the room. Peyton knew there was a chance Misty would want nothing to do with her. She might send her away, or yell at her for showing up out of the blue. But she slowly opened the door to room 125, and stuck her head inside anyway.
Misty?
Misty looked up, her eyes wide and glassy.
Peyton? What are you doing here?
Thought I'd come check on you. Is that okay?
Misty nodded, which caused the tears forming in her eyes to fall down her face. The thumping in Peyton's chest died down a bit as she slowly pushed past the door and walked to Misty's bedside.
I can't believe you came,
Misty wailed. Peyton gingerly sat down next to her.
To be honest, my mama asked me to come, but on my walk over here, I remembered how you sat with me after Dylan disappeared.
Misty looked over at her, eyes still wide and filled to the brim with tears.
While everyone else searched or got their 15 seconds of fame by talking to the press, you sat in the closet with me. You didn't say any of the stupid stuff that everyone seemed to say. You didn't try to convince me that everything would be okay. And you didn't try to make sense of any of it.
Peyton took Misty's hand in hers.
You just sat there and held my hand. And since there's nothing I can say to make any of this better for you, I figured I'd return the favor.
Misty placed her phone in Peyton's free hand.
He was beautiful, she said, her voice brittle and hoarse.
Peyton gazed down at the photo of Misty's son. The umbilical cord was still attached to his tiny body.
Yes, Peyton offered. He was amazing.
In response, Misty's cries briefly calmed, and her face went blank. She stared off into who knows where. Peyton knew that unknown place well. Chapter 5, August 17th, 2016, 10:37 a.m. Peyton placed her palms on the cool table in front of her, stretched out her fingers, and pushed into the hard metal. Maybe if she pressed hard enough, not only would she stop the shaking, but some sort of portal would open up to swallow her, and she could escape reality. The tiny room was packed full of bodies, but she'd never felt more alone. The air conditioner blew at full strength, forcing the air out of an air duct above her head. The cold air made the skin on her arms erupt with goosebumps. Peyton? With no hope of the alternate universe appearing, she relaxed her fingers and nodded. Are you up for this? She couldn't say no. Too much time had already slipped by, and there could be no more waiting. It was the first time in 4 days she'd felt coherent enough to think and speak to the officers. The shock had finally worn off.
I don't know if I'm ready, sir, but I'd rather do it now so it's over with.
Sheriff Jackson pulled up a metal chair and sat down across from her. His powerful stare made the interrogation room feel even smaller than it did just a few seconds before. Peyton noticed the sweat rains around his armpits and appreciated that it probably meant he'd been out in the heat searching for her sister, but it upset her to know that the search still came up empty. Can you tell me what happened on Saturday? There was an edge of anxiety in his tone and a hitch in his breath.
No.
It was an honest response. She had no memory of what took place in the bathroom. All she knew was it hadn't been much bigger than the room she now sat in. With her thoughts spinning, she fully took in the space. Several tanned faces stood out against the gray walls. She recognized each one. Her eyes landed on Daddy, who was seated next to her.
Go ahead,
he urged, squeezing her hand to bring her back to the moment.
Dylan went to the bus station with Nana, and I met them there.
Peyton felt her skin go clammy and her chest tighten.
That's all I know.
That's all you know, or that's all you remember?
It's all I know.
How do you know?
Everyone told me.
But you don't actually remember going. She shook her head, but concentrated on maintaining eye contact, even though the sound of the sheriff drumming his fingers on the metal table practically begged for her attention. He stared back at her, his eyes so focused and still that they almost didn't look real. Do you remember that morning? Leaving the house? Heading to the bus station? Again, she could only shake her head. Do you remember going to the restroom? The creases around his eyes tightened with each word.
No.
Think hard for me. Were you and Dylan ever in the bathroom at the same time? She placed her thumb on the inside of her wrist and noted the thumps of her heartbeat. It was beating so fast she didn't bother to try to count. She fought to stay in the moment and not pass out as the pressure in her chest mounted to the point she worried she was having a heart attack.
I don't remember.
Let me try to help you remember, because this is important. You were seen coming from the bathroom off the alley, and your sister was last seen heading in that direction. But why that bathroom, Peyton? The sheriff scooted his chair forward and leaned across the table, his glare somehow more intense. There was a bathroom just a few feet away from where your grandmother was waiting. Why did you go to the bathroom located outside? Peyton shook her head.
I don't know.
Was that your idea or Dylan's? To use the staff bathroom outside, off the alley.
Dylan's.
He glanced at the officer next to him, then focused right back on Peyton. It was Dylan's idea to use the bathroom out back. Peyton noted the digital recorder on the table.
I don't know.
You don't know if it was Dylan's idea to go out back? She shook her head again, which only increased her dizziness.
The inside bathroom was always full. Nobody from out of town knows about that other bathroom.
Right. So you decided to use that bathroom to avoid the line.
I don't know if that's why we did it. I just know that's the case.
You know that's the case. In general, they wouldn't know about that bathroom. Who's they?
The people from the bus.
Okay. Sheriff Jackson sat back, took a deep breath, and rubbed his eyes with the palms of his hands. The entire moment and the weight of the topic of conversation had her so wound up and confused, she hardly knew her own name, let alone the details of what happened in the nasty old bus station bathroom, or why she and her sister were there in the first place. "What's your last memory, Peyton?" The sudden boom of his voice made her jolt back into her seat. His voice reverberated off the walls. Peyton closed her eyes and pictured herself walking through dense, dark clouds, and forced herself into each one, shoving them out of the way and trying to find just a speck of light, a fragment of a memory hidden deep inside. "The cove. The last thing I remember is the cove." "That morning?" Now his voice sounded hopeful. You went to the cove that morning?" "The day before." She opened her eyes in time to witness a scowl appear on his face before it quickly faded. "Your only memory is of the day before?" She nodded slowly, having obviously failed this test. "What happened at the cove, Peyton?" Memories of the day raced through her mind like she was watching a video on Netflix while scrolling the time bar at the bottom of the screen in hope she would find a scene interesting enough to stop and watch. But unlike when she used that technique to view an entire season of a show in a day, her mental storyline had no image worth clicking. "Same thing that happens every year. The championship, the bonfire. Nothing different."
"And you don't recall anything between the cove and right now?"
Misty. She sat with me a bit, and my parents. I heard them talking to me, but..."
"But you don't remember anything that happened that morning?"
She shook her head.
"This is completely normal," Mama blurted, catching Peyton by surprise. She hadn't even realized the woman was in the room.
"She's been traumatized. We all have. Give her some time to process."
After 48 hours, leads go cold. We're now double that.
"Our daughter is missing, and you have a second here when we should be out there looking for Dylan. I need to be looking for Dylan."
"I understand that, Lori, but I need to ascertain whether Peyton knows if Dylan even wants to be found." Peyton's body seemed to seize. Her vision turned blurry.
"You think she left on her own accord?" Defiance hung in Mama's voice. "You think my child ran off?"
"I think it's a possibility. You know Dylan. She's a ballbuster. Always testing her boundaries. My daughter did not run off," Daddy added. "She wouldn't do that, and Peyton wouldn't be so frightened right now if Dylan just up and walked away."
"Something happened in that bathroom."
"What?" the sheriff demanded. His voice raised. The normally gentle man seemed to teeter on the edge of hostile. "What happened in the bathroom?" She felt her mama stand and grip her shoulders.
"Let's go. I'm getting you out of here."
Sheriff Jackson rose to his feet, shoving the chair backward with a violent scrape as he went.
"Lori, I wouldn't advise. Rex, Peyton said she doesn't remember. She isn't a liar and she has nothing to hide.
You know that.
You've known them since the day they were born. You know my girls."
Mama once told her that the sheriff grew up as a kid from the wrong side of the cove, just like she had. They'd been best friends all the way through high school, and he was one of the few people who stood by her when she became a young, single mother. Peyton even suspected Rex Jackson of the name of her birth father.
"What about my birth father?"
The words fell out of her mouth before she could contain them.
"Did you question him?"
The sheriff blinked in surprise and swallowed hard.
"We're questioning everyone that could possibly be connected."
"Including my birth father."
The sheriff's shoulders slumped.
"David, take her home for the night.
Let her get some rest. Bring her back tomorrow to... I'll bring her back when she has something to share. In the meantime, go look for my daughter." Daddy stood and pulled on Peyton's hand, causing her to rise out of her seat.
"We'll be in touch."
He walked her toward the door.
"David?"
The sheriff's booming voice cut through the room and stopped them in their tracks. "I'm going to need to see you and Lori first thing in the morning. We've got more questions."
"You're turning your focus to us?"
he asked. "You know that we have to look at every possible, then speak to our attorney."
Chapter 6, August 12th, 2017, 7 a.m. Peyton partially woke up to the sensation of warmth on her forearm. She labored a bit before she could fully open her eyes, and once she did, looked up to find Cassie peering down at her with a small smile. Her thin, blonde hair hung limp past her shoulders.
"How is she?"
Cassie whispered. Both girls looked over at Misty. She was laying on her side in the fetal position, holding a small teddy bear. Peyton felt her heart hitch. She didn't get much rest. She cried most of the night, and the nurses kept coming in and out to check her vitals. When will she get to go home? They said later today. Peyton stared at the teddy bear for several long seconds. Do you know why her parents aren't here? They kicked her out when they found out she was pregnant. Peyton's heart hitched again. She's living with a cousin, I think. The revelation made Peyton sick to her stomach. 17 and completely alone. It was unfair and made the weight she carried on her thin shoulders feel heavier. At least when her own mama became a teen mom, she had the support of Nana. She wasn't left to struggle all on her own. What about you? Cassie leaned against the windowsill and placed her full attention on Peyton. You look exhausted. I haven't been getting much sleep lately, Peyton admitted. Why? Peyton was taken aback by the question. It was only one word, but she was shocked that someone cared enough to ask. Nightmares. About? Dylan. She's showing up in our room. What's she doing once she gets there? She just sits and tells me it's almost time. Almost time? Cassie folded her arms across her chest and her eyes narrowed. Well, it is the week of the anniversary she went missing. Maybe she's talking about that. Maybe she's just trying to prepare you. Emotionally. Peyton gave the thought a few moments to roll around in her head. Maybe. It's going to be an emotional week. And now this? She looked back at Misty, her eyes heavy. The girl sat in silence for several seconds before Cassie stood up and walked to Misty's bed. I'll stay with her and make sure she gets home. Why don't you go get some sleep? As good as sleep sounded, Peyton wasn't convinced it was what she truly needed, but also didn't know what would help. She reluctantly removed the blanket from her lap, stood, and handed it to Cassie. I guess I'll pass you the torch. She walked to the doorway and then turned back. Thanks, Cassie. It's what friends are for. Right? Peyton felt herself smile. It was one of the few times in recent memory she hadn't forced herself to do so. I suppose it is. She turned to walk out of the room. Hey, Peyton? Peyton spun back around. Yeah? I don't mean to add more to your plate, but I figured I should give you a heads up. An immediate pain ached in her chest. About what? I was filling in at the coffee shop last night, and Star and Lindy were there. Anyway, word's out that you came to see Misty, and Star's not happy about it. Peyton rested her head against the door and groaned. Of course she isn't. You're way too nice for her. Why are you two friends anyway? Peyton felt her shoulders drop as she lifted her head and looked back at Cassie. Honestly? I've been asking myself that a lot lately. She turned back around, walked out of the room, and practically ran right into her mama. Peyton! Mama's normally wrinkle-free forehead was scrunched up in shock. What are you doing here? You asked me to come. I didn't ask you to stay the night. Peyton looked down at her feet and chewed on her lip for a moment. I don't know. I felt like she needed me or something. Mama placed the tip of her finger under Peyton's chin and gently lifted her face to hers. That was nice of you. Her mama's perfectly smooth skin returned, and her eyes were softer. She meant a lot to Dylan. I know your sister would appreciate the gesture. They shared a moment. Just a tender look between them. Mama's eyes shimmered a little. It was nice of you to stay, Mama whispered, then quickly stiffened her back and straightened her physician's coat. Do you feel all right? You look horrible. She placed the back of her hand to Peyton's forehead. You feel a little warm. I had a blanket on me, that's all. Okay, well, go home and get some rest. She walked into Misty's room and then stuck her head back around the doorframe. Text your daddy and let him know where you are. Yes, ma'am. Peyton disappeared back into Misty's room, which freed Peyton to start the stroll back home. Once she turned onto Main, she started to text to her daddy. I was at the hospital with Misty, heading home now. She pushed the send button. Okay, he replied. See you soon. Peyton tucked the phone into her back pocket and rounded the corner. She'd been so busy texting that she didn't realize she was in front of the bus station. It was about the same time in the morning that she and her sister arrived at the station, a little less than a year before. The bus to Atlanta sat parked in the lot, and people stood on the pavement stretching or walked inside to grab some snacks. or use the restroom. Peyton closed her eyes and tried to unlock the space in her brain where those bus station bathroom memories were hidden. She imagined herself walking into the bathroom, situated at the backside of the bus station, just off the alley. She remembered the smell of urine and diesel fuel salted her nose as she entered. She soon recalled that the heat was intense. She pushed her foggy memory deeper, pictured herself squatted on the toilet seat.
"Dylan!"
The bottom of her shoe slipped on the seat, almost causing her to fall over. "Dylan!" The overhead light turned off. A bus honked. Peyton opened her eyes, blinked several times, and looked up and down the street, trying to remind herself where she was. The bright sunlight momentarily made her believe she'd entered the heavens, but the vision was short-lived. Another bus honk brought her back to her dark reality. She turned her attention back to the bus stations and looked beyond the passing cars to watch the Atlanta bus pull out of the parking lot just as the Charleston bus pulled in. They were like clockwork. The only thing that was certain on the day Dylan went missing was that two buses came and went that morning. As far as anyone knew, Dylan could have been on either of them. But she wasn't. And somehow, deep in her gut, Peyton knew it. She started to watch each person milling around the station and made a mental note of each one she recognized. Fred Perkins, Russ Northside, Gloria Jennings. She recognized fewer than a dozen people. Everyone else was simply making a stop in the small town. Once the bus fumes disappeared and the air cleared, Peyton stood and walked the rest of the way home in a mental haze. With each step, the pressure in her chest mounted and the invisible weight on her shoulders increased.
"Hey, Dylan."
A chill ran up Peyton's spine. Her stomach churned. Something in her brain dislodged. Her fingers shivered. She looked up and down the street and searched again for the memory as if it were playing hide-and-seek.
"Dylan?"
Peyton shook her head, turned toward the voice, toward her porch.
"You okay?"
Nana asked.
"No."
Nana sat up taller, her eyes narrowed.
I'm not Dylan. It's me. It's Peyton."
Peyton closed her eyes and took a deep, calming breath.
"And I'm just fine."
She opened her eyes, shoved her trembling fingers into her pockets, walked across the yard, and forced a large smile on her face as she climbed the patio steps. Situated at the front entrance of the funeral home, the large covered patio beckoned visitors to the home offices and gathering parlor, which sat on the first floor and extended into what in most homes would be a large garage. The family lived on the two floors above, and Peyton had the top floor, the attic bedroom, to herself. While the property was the largest home in the city and seemed enormous from the outside, the inside felt cramped and smothering. Peyton sat down in the rocking chair next to Nana and Pugsley, who sat at Nana's feet.
"I'm sorry, I'm always confusing you two. You look so much alike,"
she sighed.
"Just getting home?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"From where?"
"The hospital. A girl from my school had her baby."
She allowed her smile to evaporate.
"He didn't survive, though. Never even cried. Sad that it died, never having something to cry about."
"How's that sad?"
Peyton asked.
"I wish I didn't have things to cry about."
"If you don't ever get a chance to cry, you don't realize how wonderful it is when you finally get to laugh."
Nana uncrossed her leg, set it on the ground, and used it to push off so her chair would start rocking again. The sound of an approaching vehicle brought Nana to her feet.
"It's the bus."
"No, ma'am, just a visitor."
Nana sat back and thrust her arms into a fold across her chest.
"Dang blasted."
Moments later, Joshua's silver Lexus pulled into the parking lot, and he climbed out with a large smile plastered on his face.
"Who is it?"
Nana asked.
"Joshua Tubin."
"You mean the rat to Dylan Scarlet?"
"That's the one."
Peyton stood, walked to the top step, and wrapped her arms around one of the large white pillars that supported the second-story balcony. Pugsley followed and then, seemingly worn out from his 2-foot walk, sat down next to her feet with a snort. Joshua bent at the waist, leaned to his left, and peered over at the elderly woman in her rocking chair.
"Hi, Nana. How are you?" Why are you screaming? You don't have to scream at me. I may be old and crazy, but I ain't deaf.
Nana, be nice, Peyton urged, as she repeatedly slapped her flip-flop against the bottom of her foot.
I'm too old to be worrying about hurting people's feelings, especially Rhett's.
He cringed and slowly straightened.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am.
He set his eyes on Pugsley.
I swear, that thing looks more like a pig than a dog. It's the fattest pug I've ever seen.
He's a kleptomaniac, Peyton said. He steals food from the pantry while we're gone. Joshua didn't seem surprised to hear the Braves owned a dog with a pilfering problem. Maybe he figured it fit well within the unusual family norm.
What are you doing here on a Saturday?
Even though you left me sitting in the cove like an idiot yesterday, I thought I'd give you another chance. She couldn't tell if he was being serious or sarcastic, so she erred on the side of serious and started to explain.
I had a rough night, and I'm going for a drive.
Want to join? Peyton worked to recover and adjust to the change of topic.
I don't know.
She glanced over at Nana, who shook her head.
It might be nice to get away for a bit,
Peyton whispered.
We can head out on our ride once the bus gets here.
I'm not sure it's coming today, Nana. Peyton noticed Nana tighten the grip of her pocketbook and then looked back at Joshua. He cocked his head and grinned.
Come on, you know you want to.
No, you don't, Nana whispered.
Where to?
Peyton asked. Some hiking trails, maybe a froyo.
Whatever you want.
His smirk made her insides flutter against her will. The urge to say yes and her reaction to say no warred while Joshua and Nana watched and waited for her to answer.
Let's go, she finally answered.
Nana sat back in her chair with a groan. Joshua ignored her. Peyton Brave wants to take off and leave the world behind, huh?
I guess I do,
she turned to Nana. Not a word of this to Mama. Nana's eyes bore into Peyton as she pursed her lips in defiance.
Nana, please, I just want to get away for a bit.
She sat back up, steadied the pocketbook on top of her knees, and glowered at the street.
Fine. So you won't say a word?
A word of what?
Thank you.
Peyton kissed her Nana on the cheek and raced down the steps as Joshua opened the car door and swept his arm toward the seat. Once Peyton was situated inside the vehicle, Joshua closed the door, looked up at Nana, and waved.
Bye, Nana.
Peyton snickered as she looked through the window and saw Nana scowl back at him as he walked around the car. Once he was situated on his side, Joshua slowly drove through the streets of Cornwall. Peyton knew good and well that every person who saw the car would know who was in it, and word would travel fast that they were together. And she was pretty sure Joshua knew it too. That's why he was driving so slow. But as soon as they reached the outskirts of town and passed the gentleman's club, she felt him look over as if soaking in the sight of her.
You ready?
She looked back at him with a grin.
Absolutely.
Joshua pressed his foot to the floor and they peeled out of town. Peyton gripped him by the arm and squealed all the way. They may not have been going far, but they were traveling farther than she had been in over a year, and much farther than her mama would be comfortable with, which made it even better. Her breath held in her chest each time the car slipped around a turn. A frightening thrill gripped her, a momentary escape that felt necessary and justified. He eventually parked in a small lot near a lookout point of Stonebridge Valley State Park, an hour outside of town.
Want to go look around?
Sure.
She opened her car door, climbed out, and headed straight for the overlook, furthering her race into freedom. To Peyton, the air smelled fresher and the atmosphere felt less smothering than it was back in Cornwall. She could take in a breath and expand her lungs fully. She almost felt alien.
I haven't been here since we were kids, she said over her shoulder.
Joshua walked up behind her and slipped his arms round her waist.
I hike out here all the time.
The tensing of her body and her curl in her toes against the foam of her flip-flops caught her off guard. She hadn't expected to have such a negative response to his touch, and apparently neither had he.
Something wrong? He asked.
She willed a smile onto her face and looked over her shoulder.
Just to chill.
When she saw his eyebrow hitch, she added,
from the breeze.
You get cold in August, he laughed, pulling her closer.
No doubt you're one of a kind.
Peyton took a deep, relaxing breath, surveyed the lush green hills and valleys, and tried to silently command her body and mind to be in the moment. Joshua's arms dropped. but in the flash of a moment, she felt his hand slip into hers, followed by a tug of her arm when he pulled her toward a path that wound through the brush. The ominous trail felt stifling, too narrow, and her lungs, suddenly constricted again, seemed unable to take in air fast enough. Her heart raced, like a reflex. Her hand squeezed his. "What's wrong?" She stared at the trail for a moment longer, then took a deep breath, loosened her grip, and nodded.
"Nothing. I'm good."
It wasn't the truth, of course. Her gut begged her not to go. It screamed at her. But Peyton never truly knew whether her fears were valid. Something strange brought on by her sister's unknown circumstances, or simply passed down from a mama drowning in anxiety. The battle was constant. It raged in her head during every conversation, every interaction. People needed her to act normal, be normal. So in times like this, when she wasn't sure what to do and the fear and anxiety flooded in, she did what she thought they would want her to do. What would make them feel like things were back to normal, even though they weren't and quite possibly never would be again. For a few hours, she acted like all was fine, and let Joshua walk her up and down the ridges of the valley as she genuinely tried to enjoy the scenery. He attempted to kiss her several times, but with each pursuit she dodged him, a duck here or a fake foot slip there.
"Let's go a little farther," he suggested. Peyton cautiously peeked down the route, shrouded in thick brush. This time, she couldn't ignore her trepidation.
"Not for me, Josh."
Again, she felt him grip her hand and yank on her arm.
"Come on, just a bit farther."
Peyton jerked her hand out of his. "I said no!" Her reaction shocked her, but it was proof her instincts still worked, and this time she wasn't going to ignore them. She jammed her hands into her back pockets so that he couldn't grab them again.
"You go. I'll meet you back at the car."
Joshua's jaw tightened, his fists momentarily clenched. "Fine. I'll be back in a few minutes." He tossed her the car keys, cleared his throat, and smiled. The smile was forced, and Peyton knew it. She'd done it herself and witnessed her mama do it enough times in life to recognize the same tensed lips. If the smile were sincere, the corner of his eyes would have creased. As it was, they were smooth as porcelain.
"I'm going to walk down to the creek bed, see if all this rain we've been having has filled it up."
"Knock yourself out."
There was still an edge in her tone, causing her voice to sound borrowed from someone else. Peyton defiantly stood on the trail and watched until Joshua disappeared around the bend, then turned to head back the direction they'd come. The path was well-worn, but the heavy layer of tree foliage, hanging over the dirt passageway, made it feel almost tunnel-like, much darker than even a few minutes before, or at least it seemed so. She slowly walked through, unable to even remember the days before she hesitated every unknown. And now felt like she'd been born this way. She'd only taken a few steps into the passage when a brunette in her late teens jogged past her, almost knocking Peyton off the trail and into the brush.
"A bit overzealous?"
she yelled over her shoulder, again surprising herself, but she quickly justified it by reminding herself that she was on edge by being out of her element. The girl with earbuds jammed into her ears apparently didn't hear. Her toned legs propelled her down the dirt path, and her ponytail swung violently as she left Peyton in her wake. Peyton turned and continued her journey back to the car, and by the time she approached the crest of the hill, she was panting and out of breath. She walked to the car and steadied her hands enough to unlock the door, then climbed to the back seat and laid down in an effort to sneak in a bit of shut-eye before Joshua returned from his hike. Due to her lack of sleep the night before, she felt herself drift off within a matter of moments. Then, suddenly, she heard the driver's side door swing open.
"Sorry."
Peyton opened her eyes and gazed up at Joshua, who was nearly out of breath. His hair was disheveled on his head.
"That took longer than I thought it would. I got a little preoccupied," he admitted. "I usually don't go that deep," he added with a devilish smirk.
As pompous and forceful as he could be at times, she couldn't deny the boy was a charmer. He started to climb into the back seat, but Peyton beat him to the punch and slid between the two front seats and took her place on the passenger side. As soon as she was settled, she slid her seatbelt across her body and locked it into place.
"We better get back before my mama has a fit.
I don't want to deal with that. He slipped into the driver's seat. We'd better be going anyway. Looks like the gods are about to unleash.
She leaned forward in her seat and looked out the front windshield, at the angry gray sky. Clouds mounted into thick, heavy bundles that hung perilously close. Within moments, large pellets of rain battered the windshield. Once the gear was in drive, he floored it, throwing Peyton back against her seat with a jolt. She tightly gripped the bar above the passenger side window.
"Josh, it's wet. Slow down."
"I'm good." She stared at his foot on the pedal and waited to see him release the pressure, but he didn't.
"If I drive fast enough, I don't even need windshield wipers. The rain just runs off."
Peyton clenched into her seat with her left hand and closed her eyes. She wanted to scream at him, beg him to pull over and let her out of the car, but she didn't. She'd reverted to ignoring her gut, and the thought of her vacillation made her stomach queasy. She stayed quiet, frozen in place as she tried to summon the return of the girl who'd stood firm less than an hour before. He watched the road ahead of them for a few moments, then suddenly stared at her.
"See?" he said with a wink.
She wrapped her fingers around the handle and momentarily contemplated opening the door, reasoning it might be the only thing that would make Josh stop the car. And then removed her hand from the handle, placed it on the dashboard, and looked over at him.
"See what?"
"I was right. We're good together." She felt his hand slither into hers just before he lifted it to his lips and kissed it.
"Told you we would be."
More and more uncomfortable by the second, she held her breath for a brief moment, then slipped her hand out of his and pretended to wipe sleep from one eye before placing the hand back in her lap. As soon as they entered cell phone coverage, their phones blew up with text messages. She'd been right. News traveled fast, and everyone wanted the scoop. Peyton scrolled through her phone and rolled her eyes at all the messages begging for an update.
"Where are you?"
"Heard you were at the hospital."
"So you're with Joshua?"
"Having fun yet?"
"What are you two up to?"
"Don't do anything I wouldn't do."
"Heard you skip town."
"When are you heading back?"
"Who is it? And what are they saying?"
She scrolled some more and tried not to think about the rain or the slick tires or the winding roads that now felt menacing. "Star wants to know what we're doing. Pretty sure she hopes we're up to no good."
"She knows me too well," he laughed.
"I guess we're official." Peyton forced another smile and couldn't help but wonder if there had been a real moment between them the entire day. How long have I been faking my life, or at least faking the joy of it? How long have my interactions been so counterfeit?
"Will you drop me off at the Cove?"
The words spilled out of her mouth. The Cove was closer to their present location than her house, which meant this ride would end sooner.
"I left my car there yesterday."
"You don't want me to take you home?"
"No, the Cove will be fine. You're actually doing me a huge favor."
"Okay, sure." He made a quick left down Jefferson and passed the dirt road that led to Brody's shop. And then they passed the bagel barn, Val's flower shop, and an old vacant Chevron building.
"I'll pick you up later tonight. I'm sure I can find us something to do."
Let me make sure I'm not grounded for life first."
"I can talk to your mama if that'll help. Ask her permission.
Parents like me, remember?"
"Trust me. Talks with my mama about that sort of thing don't go over very well."
Minutes later, he pulled up next to Ladybug. As soon as he put the car in park, he turned toward Peyton and leaned in her direction. She placed her hand on the door handle, pulled the lever, and was out of the car before he could even realize he'd been rejected.
"Again."
"Okay, I'll see you in a..." She pushed the door with more force than she'd intended. As he drove away, she turned and, feeling compelled, walked down the trail and stepped onto the beach. She stood in the sand, and a little bit chilled by the breeze blowing off the water, wrapped her arms around her stomach. The Cove wasn't very far from downtown, but the distance was enough that most people her age went there to get away. The small, sandy beach was the go-to destination for New Year celebrations, end-of-school year parties, 4th of July firecrackers, bonfires, make-out sessions, and just about anything else a person could think of.
"Dylan, you sure did love it out here."
She looked out of the platform and smiled, briefly remembering Dylan fighting for her King of the Mountain life, and loving every second of it. Her phone pinged in her back pocket, immediately causing her smile to dissipate. If she'd had her choice, she'd stay there with her feet covered in sand and remind herself of the happier times. but she didn't have a choice, and rarely ever did. Peyton pulled the phone from her pocket, saw it was a text from Mama, and rushed back up the trail into the parking lot. As she walked to her car, she saw several scratches across the paint. She'd noticed one a few days before and thought nothing of it. But these scratches were newer. At least they seemed newer. She knelt down and ran her fingers over the deep key marks. A brush rustled over her left shoulder, at first causing her to cower slightly into the wheel well, before she gathered the courage to stand and stare deep into the overgrown greenery to look for whatever it is that had caused the disruption.
Hello?
She moved her focus to the short path she'd just walked on. Suddenly, the trail in the cove felt like the last place she wanted to be, especially alone.
Hello?
She repeated. There was no response. The only sound, a ripple of the waves nearby. Still unsettled, she quickly jumped inside Ladybug, locked the car door, and then looked out her rain-soaked windows and into the surrounding dark woods. Chapter 7, July 30th, 2016, 8:30 a.m.
Peyton and Dylan Brave, breakfast is ready!
Dylan stuck her head out of the closet, just as Peyton jumped into her gold sandals and grabbed her Kate Spade purse.
Tell her I'll be right down.
No, ma'am. No way. I'm not going to deliver your bad news.
Bad news?
Dylan hopped around as she pulled on a pair of skinny jeans with one hand and ran a brush through her long brown hair with the other.
I'm running a few minutes late.
Exactly. Bad news.
Dylan zipped up the jeans, then threw on a vintage tank top, but stopped cold when she noticed her sister's scowl.
She's not going to let you wear that shirt, and you know it.
Dylan inspected the ripped fabric.
What? Why?
Too tight.
Dylan gripped the shirt between her fingers and pulled.
Nope. It got some give.
I'm good.
She grabbed a pair of gray Converse from a pile of shoes on the floor and plunged her feet inside. Besides, she'll be so hopped up on birthday festivities, what I'm wearing will be the last thing on her mind.
Famous last words.
Let's go. She'll be upset if we don't come down together.
Girls! We'll be late for our breakfast reservation at the club.
The girls shared a look and simultaneously rolled their eyes.
2 more years.
Dylan grabbed a pile of clothes off of the end of the bed and threw them to the floor. And then grabbed her unearthed purse. 2 more years and we'll be off to college and won't have to listen to...
Girls!
That. She followed her sister out of the bedroom. Thank the Lord, we won't have to listen to that.
You're really going away for school?
Peyton asked. You really aren't?
Never even considered it an option.
Dylan snickered, and they call me the crazy one. She followed Peyton down the steps to meet their parents and Nana, who stood on the second floor landing wearing bright smiles and holding balloons.
Happy birthday!
Lordy, I can't believe you're 16, Nana said, practically full grown.
Daddy held a birthday cake in his arms. 16 candles perched on top were nearly burned down to the quick.
If you'd taken any longer, I would have had to go find 16 new candles and start this thing all over again.
Dylan moved past Peyton, kissed her daddy on the cheek, and gave his shoulders a tight hug, almost causing him to tip the cake off its brilliantly polished silver platter.
You're the best, Daddy.
She kept her arms wrapped around her daddy and watched Peyton take the balloons from Mama and kiss her on the cheek.
Thank you, Mama.
16, Mama sighed. You two are officially as old as I was when I had you.
Dylan could almost hear the relief in her voice. Relief that both girls made to 16 without actually becoming mothers themselves. Now, if she could just get them past graduation. Dylan hoped Mama would finally relax and enjoy motherhood a little.
It just doesn't seem possible.
Dylan couldn't stop her eyes from rolling at the comment.
And here she goes, somehow making our birthday all about her.
It was half-spoken under her breath, but loud enough for Daddy and Nana to hear.
Nana tisked. Be nice, Daddy warned.
Dylan walked to the side table and picked up a thick stack of envelopes, birthday cards from friends and family.
Granddaddy and Grandma Brave. Bet we each got $100, she said as she tossed it to the side.
Uncle Arthur, probably $5, Auntie June, a Walmart gift card. Peyton answered.
You think?
Dylan slipped her finger under the edge of the envelope and slid it along the thin paper, tearing it open. She pulled the card out, and two Walmart gift cards fell to the floor.
You nailed it.
Take them. Peyton laughed. They're all yours.
Cool.
Dylan picked them up and stuck them in her back pocket. Unlike her sister, who had an image to keep up, she didn't have anything against shopping at Walmart. She could get 3 or 4 t-shirts for what her sister spent on one at the latest and greatest store at the mall in the city. Dylan continued through the stack of cards, tossing them into piles until she'd worked her way through the entire stack.
Nope. Nothing this year. She glanced over her shoulder at Peyton. They shared a disappointed glance. I guessed he maxed out with the necklaces a few years back.
She gripped the angel pendant between her fingers and silently made her birthday wish. To meet him one day. Between the two of them, Dylan yearned to meet her birth father more than Peyton did. Not that she didn't love Daddy, because she did. She loved him more than she could imagine loving anyone in the world. But her heart ached for a man she'd never laid eyes on.
You'd think he'd care, or at least try harder, seeing as how he came from his loins, she added, in an attempt to shove the ache in her heart out of her chest.
Enough of that talk, Mama said with a shoe of her hand.
His loss, Nana added.
Mama, you said when we were old enough you'd give us more information. 18!
I said, when you're 18. She disappeared into the kitchen, officially ending the conversation.
A loud, odd honk pierced the awkward silence of the house, bringing their mama right back out of the kitchen in a flash.
I wonder who that could be.
Gee, I wonder, Dylan muttered. It's here. Peyton tore down the steps. The others struggled to discard their birthday paraphernalia and followed behind. Dylan took the rear, since she had zero interest in what just pulled into the driveway. By the time she got to the door, her sister was squealing like a 3-year-old hyped up on birthday cake and ice cream, and running through the yard with equal pep and vigor. Brody climbed out of the car and tossed Peyton the car keys.
She's all yours.
Part of Dylan could understand her twin's excitement. Peyton picked out her car long before she was even old enough to drive. She'd seen a red, vintage convertible Volkswagen Beetle during a trip to the beach and mentioned to their parents that her dream would be to have one of her own someday. Daddy, being Daddy, decided to find one for her 16th birthday. Dylan was home, putting out flower arrangements for a funeral, when Daddy showed her the match he'd found online. Soon after, it shipped to Brody's body shop to be updated and repainted the red Peyton asked for. The rest of the family made their way over to the Bug, and once again, Dylan followed behind and watched everyone's excitement, but couldn't muster up excitement of her own.
She's beautiful, Brody, Mama exclaimed as they approached. Just beautiful.
He gave her a polite nod and grin.
Thanks.
Daddy slapped him on the shoulder and lightly squeezed his neck.
You did a fine job, son.
Thank you, sir. I gotta say that I'm pretty proud of her. Even got the right tires. See that? And the hubcaps are bowl-shaped.
I see.
Dylan watched the only males of the group squat down and salivate over the tires, while Peyton ran the tips of her fingers across the shiny red surface, over to the silver door handle, and then climbed inside. From Dylan's vantage point, it looked like Peyton nearly absorbed into the tan leather interior.
It's completely swoon-worthy. Peyton purred, a large, lopsided grin on her face. I'm so in love, I can't stand myself.
You're finally catching up with the rest of us, who can't stand you already. Dylan quipped. The verbal thought earned her an expected ice stare from Mama. She's from 62, Brody announced. 4 cylinders, 4-speed manual transmission. I had to find a new pure white canvas top, though the leather seats, they're original. They were a mess, but I cleaned them up real good. I don't think anyone could have done it better. Heck, I even patched up a few tears. You'll hardly notice them.
Dylan kept her distance, but circled the car, giving it the once over before she walked away from the car show and made her way to the tree swing just a few feet away.
I used a mattress stitch, the same one cosmetic surgeons use to reduce scarring. Brody took a quick breath and continued. The engine, clutch, transmission, they're all solid, original to the vehicle. So I had to do some major overhauling, but it was worth it.
Dylan sneered as she dropped into the wooden swing set.
You don't think red is a little much?
Brody looked over at her with his mouth ajar.
It's candy apple red.
No, it's a recipe red. Sheriff Jackson's going to spot Peyton from a mile away if she drives that thing around town.
That's exactly right, Peyton sang.
It's what she asked for, Brody added.
It's even got the fluted European-style headlight lenses. They're amazing.
And the bumper bars, I polish them to the point where you can see your reflection. We sure know Peyton